After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up high mountain by themselves.
There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus.
Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah."
While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him."
When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid."
When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus.
As they were coming down the mountains, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Have you ever seen anything that's just sort of so amazing it takes your breath away and you feel in awe of what God's done, God's majesty? When a number of years ago my wife and I went to America, and we went to the Grand Canyon, and I was just sort of standing on top of the Grand Canyon, and you can only see part of it, it's so huge. And we were just sort of standing there, and I was just looking about, and I just felt that I can feel God's presence, and I was just sort of in awe of looking. And basically what it is erosion. It's the world's biggest, you know. And we went in a helicopter, we went down to the Colorado River, we went along in a boat along the river, and we had a good time, but I just felt, we went back up and we're just standing at the top and we're looking at some Native American things, but I just kept going over to the edge, well, not too close to the edge, and I was just blown away. I really felt that I was in the presence of God at that time. In today's reading, we heard that Peter and James and John had a mountaintop experience. And the expression mountaintop experience comes from the Old Testament, when prophets used to go up a mountain and encounter God. And regarding today's reading, can we just go back a step or two? In each of the first three Gospels, it talks about the Transfiguration. And if we go back, say, in Matthew chapter 14, but it occurs in the others as well, Jesus feeds 5,000 people, and then he feeds 4,000 people, and then a few other things happen, but Jesus is with his disciples, and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, you know, some people say you're John the Baptist, some people say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus says, "But who do you think I am?" And Peter says, I don't know why the print always comes out smaller on here than at home. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And it's really an epiphany, which is something revealed to Peter by God. It's something he didn't get that from another person. That was something that he got directly from God. And Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anybody about this just yet." Then follows a time when we see Jesus predict his death to the disciples, and he tells his disciples that if they want to be his disciples, then they have to deny themselves, they have to take up their cross and follow him. Now, it must have been a fairly common thing for the Romans to execute prisoners that way in Jerusalem in those days, for him to use that as an analogy, because we know that he obviously hadn't been crucified yet. And it's after he says this, he says, some of you, he's predicted his death, and he says, some of you who are standing here will not die until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And about a week later, Jesus takes his close circle of three, Peter, James and John, up a mountain. And there's at least three occasions where Jesus takes these three and not the others. The raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead, this one, the Transfiguration, and in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays before he's arrested. From the Old Testament, we know that two or three people are needed. If you're going to have witnesses to an event, you need the testament of two or three people. And on important occasions like this, Jesus took these three with him. So on the mountain, they see Jesus' face change shape. They see his clothing as a dazzling white. And we can sort of picture that, because with the modern movies and things these days and CGI and all the other things that they can do, we can picture somebody changing shape. We can picture somebody's clothes being dazzling white. But this must have been a frightening thing for the three disciples. And they saw him talking with Moses and Elijah, who represent in Israel, they represent the law and the prophets. Moses brought the commandments down from the mountain. And this episode is reminiscent of Moses returning down the mountain. His face was radiant after he had encountered God. And it's reminiscent of the cloud which would surround the tent of meeting during the Exodus, and God was in the cloud. And not sure about the business with Peter babbling about making tents or shelters for the three of them. There's a number of reasons given by various commentaries. One was that he wanted them to stay longer. And the big thing is we're reminded of Jesus' baptism, where God spoke, saying, and this is a picture from picture of Jesus at his baptism. We're reminded of that because God says, "This is my son, whom I love." And at the Transfiguration, he also added, "Listen to him." And as Jesus always said when the time wasn't right, he told them not to tell anybody about it. And this time he said, not until after the Son of Man was raised from the dead. I've actually completely lost. When Peter and John do talk about Jesus, seeing Jesus in his glory, actually, I did need it because I was going to read part of that. But Peter, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, 16 to 18, talks about we were witnesses to God's glory. We were witnesses to Jesus' glory. We saw him on the mountain. And that's definitely attributable to the Transfiguration. And John also mentions in 1:14:2 where he says we were witnesses to his glory. Now, whether this is what was meant when Jesus said that some who are standing here won't die until they see the Son of Man coming to his kingdom, I don't know. We know that all the disciples have died. We know that Jesus hasn't come back in the second coming. So we don't know whether it refers to that or whether it refers to three of his disciples saw him in his glory at the Transfiguration on the mountain. The disciples were afraid during the encounter when God spoke, just like people usually are through the Old Testament when they encounter God or angels. They're usually fairly frightened. And Jesus reassures them and tells them, I think he put his hand on Peter's shoulder, and he reassures them and says, do not be afraid. So we see Jesus here on the mountain at the Transfiguration in two ways. We see Jesus in all his glory, at one with God. I was reminded about this last week when I think Stephen, the scripture teacher, was saying one of the children had asked him, is Jesus God? And I thought, gee, I'd love to have heard your answer. I reckon when I was 12 or 13, I had a better understanding of what the Trinity was than now that I'm an adult. But we saw Jesus, or the disciples saw Jesus in all his glory, at one with God. They also saw him as a reassuring friend. Don't be frightened. Today I wanted to bring our attention to the fact that God said, listen to him. He didn't just say, this is my son. He said, listen to him. One of the significances of his talking with Moses and Elijah is it backs up his claim when Jesus said, don't think I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfil them. And Moses and Elijah on the mountain at the Transfiguration represent the law and the prophets. And the disciples had already spent maybe a couple of years with Christ by this stage, maybe a bit longer even, and they'd been listening to his teachings, they'd been doing what he said already. He was their rabbi, he was their teacher or master. And it's a bit like if you remember being a student in school and your teacher tells you to do things or they give you some instruction and you take it all in, but if the principal walks in, you pay a little bit more attention, don't you? Jesus has just been shown he's not just a prophet, Jesus is the Son of God. This confirms what Peter said the previous week. Jesus is the Son of God. They knew he was special. They knew he healed people and drove out demons. In fact, they had gone out and done this themselves in Jesus' name. But he wasn't just another prophet. He was the Son of God. And now they were also getting to the pointy end of Jesus' ministry. In Luke 9:31, we're told the conversation that Jesus had with Moses and Elijah on the mountain was that they spoke about his departure, which was about to be brought to fulfilment at Jerusalem. So there was obviously it was obviously important that they pay attention to everything that Jesus said, to listen to him. Interestingly, when they came down the mountain, after seeing Jesus in all his glory, they had to come back down into the world, didn't they? And Jesus healed a boy of demon possession. And there was lessons in this for the disciples and for us as well. The nine remaining disciples had been unable to drive the spirit out. And one version says that they didn't have enough faith. We all remember the story of the mustard seed. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move from here to there and it will. Nothing will be impossible for you. In another version, in Mark, it says everything is possible for one who believes. And the father says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And after Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples said to him privately, why couldn't we drive the demon out? And Jesus replied, that kind can only come out by prayer. So Jesus is instructing his disciples here to have faith, to believe, and to pray. Now after this incident, we're told that he said these things because he was teaching his disciples. And again, Jesus told them that he was about to die. This is after today's reading. And in Matthew, it says they were filled with grief. But in Mark and Luke, it says they did not understand what he meant. And they were afraid to ask him about it. How often have you sat in a schoolroom or a class or anywhere where somebody's explained something and you haven't understood what's going on, but just a bit afraid to ask? I always feel sorry for the disciples. God told his disciples, and therefore to us as well, listen to him. His disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus, had difficulty understanding, and then it's no wonder because we sometimes struggle too. We have two things which they did not at before Jesus' crucifixion. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If we believe this and we accept him into our lives, then we have the Holy Spirit. We also have the Bible, which we can sort of see what's happened before and see what's happened after, which the disciples didn't have the benefit of at the time. But we're still going to have struggles at times with our understanding, and our Bible study last week was a bit like that. It wasn't easy. So what do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to spend time with other people going through the Bible. We need to listen to him. Today's message didn't start out this way, but I think it's probably an introduction to the study of the game changer. We need to spend time with each other, going through the Bible and listening to him. Amen.